All right, everyone, welcome to week 5. I can't believe it's already here, and the Waiver Wired podcast. Now, on the Waiver Wired podcast, we try to get right to the heart of what's important to help you win your fantasy football leagues. And so in order to do that, I said, heck, let me just bring in the best of the best. And that's why we've got Michael Fabiano with us here today from Sports Illustrated. And he's going to help us with all those tough start sit questions. Babs, thanks so much for taking some time out of your afternoon today.
Yeah, you know what? It's a bit of a depressing day because the Yankees got beat by the Red Sox. So I need to hang out with a couple of Yankee fans. We can cry in our beer. Very disappointed. But you know what? We're going to get through this together. And hopefully Boone's out and get Cashman out of there too. While you're at it, sorry.
Listen, Yankees, you got to do something about getting guys that can actually hit for average and not just hit home runs.
It hasn't worked since 2009. It's not working. I mean, it's not working.
It's not working, and that is actually the definition of insanity. So, guys, fix it. But, yeah, now we can just concentrate completely on football, except for, of course, my Astros are still in the running, so I will try to be as quiet as possible until we win the World Series because I got great odds on them a long time ago when everyone doubted them. So, hopefully I can just...
Anybody but Boston. I don't care.
Okay.
Boston, and I want the Cardinals to beat the Dodgers. Other than that, whatever.
Okay, so the Cardinals got to get through tomorrow night, and then we're rooting for them to beat the Dodgers.
It's tonight. Aren't they playing tonight?
Oh, it's tonight. Wednesday. That's right, it's tonight.
It's Wednesday. Yeah, I don't know what day it is, but like I think that, yeah, Waino's pitching tonight, so.
I love Waino. Wainwright, by the way, probably the best pickup off the waiver wire for fantasy baseball this year.
We were actually like talking fantasy trades very recently. Like we are just trading fools. We do it all the time. So.
Isn't he also leading your celebrity league right now?
Yeah, he's in first place. He's good at fantasy. He's really good at fantasy. He got lucky because I started Chuba Hubbard over Cordero last week, or I would have beat him in another league that we're playing together. But then again, I guess maybe I'm just unlucky because I shouldn't have played Chuba Hubbard.
Well, I think a lot of people needed to play Chuba Hubbard last week because that's the situation they were in. But you mentioned Cordero Patterson, so let's just go right there. We were talking earlier today, Fabs, and he is one of your starts of the week. And, of course, we were talking about him Sunday morning on the Winners Club for Sports Illustrated. And he's just been phenomenal. Was he the RB3 last week, I believe?
He's the RB3 for the season. We're like a quarter of the way through the season, and he's the RB3, for crying out loud. He didn't get drafted, right? What were we doing, Piacenti, like in the preseason? We were like, all right, so it's Mike Davis. You know, who's going to be the backup there, right? Is it going to be Quadri Allison? Oh, wait, you know, Javian Hawkins. Like, we were all trying to figure out who that sneaky Atlanta back was to get late, and nobody even thought about Cordero Patterson.
Right. Did you actually draft any Mike Davis?
I don't have any Mike Davis.
Me either.
No.
So I think actually we both knew enough to know to stay away. So I'll give us a check mark.
Yeah, I mean, I had him ranked in like that flex starter area, but I didn't get him anywhere. I mean, in best ball, I'm sure I have a couple of shares of him somewhere. But in my traditional redrafts, my dynasty leagues, I don't have any of them.
Now, I got to ask you, the news came out today that Dalvin Cook, it seems that he's just kind of playing through an injury. Does that concern you at all? Like, would you consider ever sitting Dalvin Cook?
No, I probably not. I mean, it depends. Like, if you know, the insiders are out there saying that he may be on a snap count, because we don't talk about pitch counts because this is football. But then you start to get a little concerned. They're playing the Lions this week. Just sit them. Like, if you can't beat the Lions with Alexander Mattison, I mean, then you're not going to win anything. Like, just rest him, right? Dalvin Cook, God bless him. He's awesome. He's not been the most durable dude in the world. And last week we played him, and Mattison played more than we expected, and Cook was in and out of the game, and it's a headache. I mean, I have 3 or 4 shares of Dalvin Cook. I was pretty happy to get him. And now, well, he's saying it's not getting any worse. But, I mean, is it going to get better? I don't get it. Whatever. I mean, I'm not a head coach. But if I'm Mike Zimmer and I see the Lions on the schedule, I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'll put him on the bench this week. Let him rest up another week. Get him out there for the next game.
I'm 100% with you. And even as the Dalvin Cook, manager, coach, I don't want them to ruin Dalvin Cook versus the Lions. I mean, I know it could be a really big game, but hopefully if you have Dalvin Cook, you also have Alexander Mattison or you have a backup. Because as you mentioned, we know Dalvin Cook is a little bit injury prone, and that's just how it is. And speaking of backups, there's kind of a lot of them on the wire this week. You know, you could probably still get Damian Williams. You could probably still get Alex Collins. It's not looking good for Chris Carson. Not that it's a great matchup this week versus the Rams, but Samaje Perine. I mean, there's a lot of options out there. So, but who do you like this week for wide receiver? Because, you know, we've been talking a lot about this. People like Allen Robinson, you know, what are we going to do with Allen Robinson? Are we playing Allen Robinson when Darnell Mooney is seeing more snaps, more targets, more receiving yards? Do we play him?
It depends on what you have on your roster, to be honest with you. I mean, I have leagues where, like, I have to play him. I have no choice. I have to hope that he wakes up and that Justin Fields starts looking in his direction. At least Matt Nagy made the right move and, you know, announced that Fields is going to be the starter moving forward, because why go to Andy Dalton? There's just no reason for that whatsoever. But we have to see that rapport developing between Fields and Allen Robinson. Like, it looks like it's already developed between the rookie and Darnell Mooney, who you mentioned had a big game last week. But the NFL is a week-to-week league. I mean, things change, right? Going into this past week, the Rams are the best team in football. And then they get their butts kicked by the Cardinals. And now the Cardinals are the best team in football. And they'll probably lose to the Niners. And then the Niners, you know, that's just how it is. So you probably have to play them. You know, I mean, it's the Raiders. The Raiders, you know, they're playing much better football this year. It's not like they're, you know, the 85 Bears.
The Raiders were the best team in football a week or two ago as well.
Exactly. I'm just waiting for the Cowboys to be the best team in football for a week, and then they'll get beat, and then, you know, they won't be.
For
the Cowboys this week.
How do you feel inside?
How about that, buddy?
I'm not look. I mean, coming off a big win in New Orleans, when I given up all hope, I was waving the white flag. Jen knows. I said I'm done watching the Giants. They go and have an impressive win, and I got to hand it to Dimes. I mean, he's not been the problem this year, but had an awesome game, 402 yards, 2 touchdowns, but. Dallas's offense is quite scary, and their defense is playing way above expectations. Which means that, and also shout out to Micah Parsons switching positions, like mid season after and being a rookie. I mean, what a freak of nature athlete. So, my expectations of this game are very low, and I expect to see a Dallas Cowboy win, unfortunately. But
and remember, the Cowboys they were in a trade that moved them down a few spots, in day one. And they still got Parsons. So I will say this, you know, Eddie Spaghetti is Danny Dimes' best pal. I don't know if you know that. He likes to show that photo of the two of them at the draft. Danny Dimes has been this year who I thought he was going to be last year. Mm-hmm. He looks good. He's had one bad game. And really that bad game was a 17-point effort where two of his top wide receivers went down. His offensive line is trashed with injuries. So he's been a bright spot, and Saquon is now Saquon again. He looks like he's
I would say the same thing. Last season, I was kind of into Danny Dimes as a late round pick, and I thought he could have a big year, and then he really disappointed me. But interestingly, much like Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones has established a bit of a rushing floor as a quarterback, which is amazing.
Jones, even back to his time in college, you know, he's always been a guy who could run. Like, Sam Darnold is just like, where the hell did this come from? It's like, do you remember the year that Mark Sanchez had like 6 rushing touchdowns and he was the QB10? And Mark Sanchez stinks. I mean, he's not a good fantasy quarterback. He's like, you know, Baker Mayfield, basically. Maybe Mayfield's a little bit better than Sanchez, but probably a lot better. But still, I don't think Mayfield is all that great in the fantasy world. But it's just odd. I mean, like, really? Like, 5 first down rushes already for Sam Darnold? I'm telling you, get away from Adam Gase. I'm telling you right now. Adam Gase, that guy owes all of the money that he's ever made in the National Football League to Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Every dime of it.
Yeah, I have to agree. We saw it with Ryan Tannehill as well. But you mentioned Baker Mayfield, and those who know me know I'm kind of really not a big fan at all of Baker Mayfield. And then last year, he kind of looked good towards the end of the year, and the Browns looked good. And I was like, oh, maybe I've forgiven Baker Mayfield. But, you know, last week he stunk it up, and he ruined our OBJ call. Fabs, that was Baker's fault. Really frustrating. And I'm wondering, what do you do with OBJ moving forward? What do you do with Baker Mayfield? Are you starting him? What are you doing with these guys?
I'm not playing Baker this week. Now, I'm talking about traditional one QB leagues, all right? Two QB leagues is a much different thing. I loved OBJ last week, and he was wide open down the sidelines, wide freaking open. And Baker Mayfield threw behind him. And, like, you can even tell, like, OBJ's body language, like, after that, he was kind of like, what the hell was that? Like, it was terrible, right? And he misses Eli Manning. I miss Eli Manning throwing the ball, all right, to OBJ. I miss Mitchell Trubisky throwing the ball to Allen Robinson. I don't care. I'm selfish.
Things we never thought we'd say.
OBJ is never going to be an elite wide receiver in Cleveland. It's not going to happen. That's what I said when he went there. This offense is not conducive to wide receivers putting up big numbers. The best average points per game that any wide receiver has had in Kevin Stefanski's offense is Stephon Diggs, and it's like 14 points per game in Minnesota. Like, that's it. It's not an offense conducive to wide receivers putting up big numbers, especially when you're not in sync with your quarterback. And OBJ is not in sync with Baker Mayfield. And Baker Mayfield, I don't know what's going on there, but his numbers are better without Odell Beckham Jr., which seems strange to me, but whatever, that's the truth.
It is strange. And now there's no Jarvis Landry. So it really doesn't make sense that these two can't get on the same page, but it seems that they can't. Who do you like to start this week at quarterback?
Well, Sam Darnold. I mean, like, how can you not like him now? He's in the top five. Like, it's crazy, right? He's in the top five. Kirk Cousins I love this week, right? He had a stinker last week. Now he's got Detroit. I mean, he should be able to beat Detroit pretty easily. Matthew Stafford, he had 19.3, I think, last week. So he wasn't terrible in fantasy, but he didn't look great on the field. He'll bounce back on Thursday against Seattle. If Trey Lance is the starter for the Niners, ooh, giddy up, please. Please. I mean, I'm so excited to watch this kid play in his starting role. One half of football, scored over 20 fantasy points last week. And here's a guy that a lot of folks out there are probably not talking about in the most positive light. Jameis Winston's got the best matchup among quarterbacks this week, the best. Washington stinks against the pass. They are giving up 27.8 points per game to quarterbacks this year. They've given up at least 29 fantasy points to Josh Allen, which you can get. Daniel Jones, sorry, Eddie, and Matt freaking Ryan. Like, really? Matt Ryan had four touchdowns against them last week. They stink. And so Jameis, and I know Jameis stinks too, but he had five touchdowns against the Packers in week one. Crazier things have happened. So, like, I mean, you have to be super, super desperate. The matchup is really good. In a 2QB league, definitely start Jameis.
Yeah, and maybe for DFS because nobody's going to be doing it. And if you can figure out which receiver he's going to be targeting, or maybe you want to throw in like Juwan Johnson or somebody random just to be really, really different. It seems like
that makes damn ball to Kamara, for crying out loud. No targets last week.
What is that about?
You know how many catches he's on pace for this year?
Like zero?
43. And that's 17 games. He's never had fewer than 81. That was one of the things I was worried about with Kamara coming in.
Okay, now do Derrick Henry. How many is he on pace for? Because that is crazy.
480 carries, not even touches. Carries. 480.
I mean, if you guys are doubting whether Derrick Henry is the first on pace.
416 in 2006.
Freaking believable. Okay, I know we got to get you out of here, Fabiana, because you are a busy man. You still have a radio show to do tonight, but I got to ask you really quickly about the dreaded tight end position. Who do you like this week? What can we do?
Maybe it's starting to turn around. I don't know, right? Like, so
Mike Gesicki. Because of our Cowboys?
Dalton Schultz. People forget he had over 60 catches last year with crap quarterbacks.
That's right.
With DiNucci and Gilbert Grape and the Red Rifle. I mean, they're a bunch of clowns there. So, but Mike Gesicki's playing very well. I was wrong about him last week. Jacoby Brissett digs him the most, and he's got a really good matchup against the Bucs. Hunter Henry's been coming along a little bit more lately. He is a guy now, nine catches in the last two games. And Mac Jones and the Patriots are playing Houston. Knicks, right? So, and Schultz, Dawson Knox, who you talked about on the waiver wire column and video last week. Now the Bills are incorporating him into the offense. So, like, he's certainly a guy that you can look at. Noah Fant's going to be in your lineup. Cameron Brate, you know, you can throw a dart at him. Even Evan Engram, like, he's actually done really well against the Cowboys, Eddie will tell you, in his career. He's had a lot of success there. So even Evan Engram, like, if you're really hurting, and now you're like, no Logan Thomas. So, right. I mean, that'd be great for Curtis Samuel if he can get on the damn field, because now he's out of practice again. But the tight end position lost a little and it gained a little. So we'll see how consistent Schultz can be. Knox, like, I'm not going after CJ Uzama. I mean, it was one, you know, big game. I'm not going after Max Williams right now. I think the last good Cardinals tight end in fantasy was like Freddie Jones. You remember him? Well, a long time ago. He used to play for the San Diego Chargers back in the day. But it honestly, like, even George Kittle hasn't been good this year. He hasn't. Kyle Pitts has not been good this year.
No.
TJ Hockenson's last two games have been kind of like,
Right.
I mean, so it's Kelce and Darren Waller, and then everybody else, you know, we just hope that we can get a touchdown or, you know, 10 points every week.
Yeah, Mark Andrews also not as exciting as we'd hoped.
Right, yeah, he hadn't been great either. Yeah, exactly.
It's just been
coming back soon.
It's, I mean, you're playing the touchdown lotto, but, you know, when you can try to find guys like Dalton Schultz, like you said, who's just getting targeted. He was targeted more than any of the Dallas receivers last week.
36% target share in an offense with CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper. Crazy. Yeah.
Absolutely crazy. So yeah, I think you should put claims in for Dalton Schultz. And I love the Gesicki pick, and he's very, very well priced on DFS. We want to keep you around next time for like a lot longer. But can you tell us what you got going on, Fabs, where people can find you? I mean, like, if you're looking for Fabiano, you can basically also go to my timeline because he's all over it. Because we spend a lot of time together talking about waiver wire and start sits because, hey, we love it. And that's what we do. But where else can they find you besides Sports Illustrated?
Well, SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, Fantasy Dirt, where I have had Cousin Sal on multiple times. My pal, Dave Damachek, who I love dearly. And I do feel for him because the Steelers suck. But, you know, he's had a lot of success over the years with the Steelers. Maybe the Pirates, not so much. But the Penguins, right? You always got hockey, I guess, Dave. So I love you, man. Also, Westwood One, I do a show with Amber Theo Harris. You can find that all over the place. That comes out on Fridays during the course of the regular season. I'm doing stuff with Sling TV, with my celebrity fantasy football league, which you had mentioned. Adam Wainwright is the number one team right now in that league, and I think I play him this week. I think I do. I'm not going to text him and talk trash right now because he's getting ready to play the Dodgers and hopefully beat the Dodgers. But got a lot going on. And, of course, SI, where you can find all of Jennifer Piacenti's great work, whether she's talking about fantasy or betting or why the Yankees can't win a damn playoff game. So make sure you check out Jen as well. Over at si.com/fantasy. And I would plug Eddie Spaghetti, but I'm not sure where you are. I know you're right here.
He's here with
Sal and Dave and the guys. And it's certainly a pleasure because Eddie and I have a long history together, dating back our time with the NFL. We both moved on to bigger and better things. And I love seeing that face, even after the Yankees lose, and now the Cowboys are probably going to beat up on your Giants.
I was just going to say, Fabs, I wish we were talking on better terms when, number one, the Yankees actually won the game. We're looking forward to a playoff series. And number two, I was going to say, I'm going to wish you and the Cowboys luck, but I don't think you guys need luck. I think I'm the one that needs the luck. So I'd appreciate your best wishes towards the G-men.
I don't know. I have this sneaky feeling that we've gotten a little too cocky and a little too confident.
No, it's going to be close. It's an East rivalry game. I wouldn't be surprised if we lost. Like, it's,
I wouldn't either.
The Giants' offensive line is shot, but they went into New Orleans and won. I mean, so I wouldn't be surprised if the Cowboys lost because that's what the Cowboys do.
Right.
When you think you have some confidence and you're feeling good, right, they pull the damn rug right out from under. You're like, geez Louise, we just got beat by Danny Dimes. I wouldn't be surprised.
I've been a lifelong Cowboys fan. I'm used to the pain. It's fine.
No, and I hate when people say, you're a Cowboys fan. You guys are world champions. We haven't won jack, you know what, nothing since 1995, all right? 1995, when we beat Damashek Steelers in the Super Bowl, right? We haven't won, you know what, nothing. The only thing that Cowboys fans have had since 95 is heartbreak and misery, all right? And I'm not going to go through all of it, the catch that Dez made that wasn't, that now is, but doesn't matter because they overruled it like 3 years after the fact. The slippery ball in Seattle. Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball to the sidelines and Jared Cook, who couldn't catch a cold, and he catches it. Mason Crosby hits the field goal. The awful performance that we had in the divisional game against the Giants when we were 13-3, and then the Giants went on to win the Super Bowl. Like, Eddie remembers that.
Yes.
And the Giants have won two Super Bowls in that time, and we haven't won nothing. So don't give me the crap out there about the Cowboys. Oh, blah, blah, blah. We haven't won anything since 95. We haven't won anything without Jimmy Johnson's influence. So I'm just saying.
I mean, I feel like he didn't even have to rehearse that. That rant needed to come out. Like, that was concerning.
No, because I'm just pissed because about the Yankees. Like, I'm soured up. I was watching the game last night, and I was on the air, too. And I'm trying not to swear. And then when Stanton hit that shot, I thought it was out. And I was like, oh, Stanton, it's the longest single in the history of baseball. And apparently John Sterling really messed up that call. I haven't listened to it yet. I got to listen to that. And then the rest of the game, you know, Gerrit Cole can't show his face in the Bronx. I can tell you that, at least for the next 3 or 4 months. John Carlo was great. Phil Nevin, why are you sending Judge on that
play? That was terrible base running.
That was just stupid. But it's the Yankees. This is what they freaking do every year. You get to the playoffs, and then you think you got a shot. But if you really know the Yankees, you know you don't have a shot with this team. Because the bats are going to go cold. A pitcher is going to stink. And unfortunately, in last night's case, both happened. And it happened at the freaking Red Sox. Ever since 2004, when the curse got broke.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep going. The whole damn – I got to stop.
That was a fantastic place. All right, we'll let you go, Fabiano. But be sure you check him out tonight on Fantasy Dirt on SiriusXM and all his work at Sports Illustrated. And obviously, you'll have to come back because we have a lot more to talk about. We always have
absolutely. Anytime you guys want me to come on, I am happy to do it. Eddie, I love you, man.
Love you too. Fabs, you're the best.
Thanks, Fabs.
Fancy. We'll see you soon, buddy.
All right. Fabs is one of the best, you guys, honestly. It's thrilling to work with him at Sports Illustrated. And I absolutely love that Fabs and Eddie have a history. The second I asked him to come on, he's like, I love spaghetti. I'm like, well, then you're going to love this show because spaghetti's in charge. I just act like I am.
Fabs has been really an A+. You know, some people in you know, going through the ranks and media and working these jobs, some people are awful to you and some people are great to you. And Fabs is one of the best people I've met, along with, you know, everyone else here, obviously, at Extra Points. Yeah. And yeah, he's been great. And we had a few really good years together doing fantasy over at NFL. And we've been pals. Obviously, we bonded over the Yankees, him, you know, being a diehard fan. And somehow I don't let the Cowboys versus the Giants thing get in the way of that because he's the two kind of guy. But I love his almost like his it's so funny that like I'm thinking about this game, looking at it, I'm like, man, this Cowboys team is legitimately great. They really could have been undefeated if they didn't slip up week one versus Tampa with a, you know, a few questionable calls. I'm looking at this Giants team and going like, yeah, they probably could have won the game versus Washington, maybe versus Atlanta. They could have been better. I'm like, I just want a competitive game. And then talking to him and he's just like, I don't know. I think they're going to come in. They're going to beat us. So it's really funny that like nobody feels that confident about their team. And then even like me, where I lost all my confidence, like I regained a little bit. Now I'm like, oh, you never know. Maybe it's just it's so funny. Like you said, the NFL really is week to week.
It really is week to week. Any given Sunday, right? Like it's absolutely true. All right. Let's hit the news for the day that you guys need to know to set your optimal fantasy lineups. Okay. Big news today. Justin Fields officially named the starter moving forward. You know, we all thought this was going to happen. It took a bit of an injury to Andy Dalton to kind of light the fire. And I think that the David Montgomery injury also kind of pushed this way too. Bears fans are up in arms. They're like, come on, we should have a good team. We have all this talent. Do what you can to help us win. And it looks like it's going to be Justin Fields moving forward, save a crazy Matt Nagy decision. And how does that make you feel, Eddie? Like, do you have Fields anywhere?
I don't, but I think if you are, you know, playing fantasy, you need a quarterback. I think clearly Fields, even as a rookie, should be the better option than Andy Dalton because he does have the mobility. And if you watch any of him at Ohio State, you can see that he is the real deal. And the Bears really, they probably have their franchise quarterback. What I don't love about the scenario, though, is the flip-flopping by Nagy saying, like, oh, he's going to start. It's going to be Dalton. It's going to be, you know, even when he returns from being healthy. When all of Chicago and anyone that has eyes and watches football wanted Fields to play because he gives them the spark. So, I mean, if you have shares of, well, whenever Montgomery's healthy and the Bears receiving core and Cole Kmet, I think you may – want to see just how Fields works with those guys. And I think it will be a thing that's good in the future. I'm not, you know, I don't know where you stand on this one though, Jen, with letting the rookie quarterback sit for a while. I don't know if there's the statistics to prove that if they sit for a longer period of time, they are going to be better. But I think in a scenario like this in Chicago with Andy Dalton, it's not like he was really giving them a lot of confidence. It's one thing if you're sitting because you have Aaron Rodgers and you're Jordan Love. That I understand. But Andy Dalton, it's like, well, come on, you want to put Fields in. And if Nagy wants to save his job, it's like, well, he probably needs Fields in to show him a spark. And then you could say, okay, this is the coach and this is the quarterback.
Yeah, but again, in this Any Given Sunday 2 weeks ago, we were all saying, Justin Fields is not ready. When can Andy Dalton come back? And then Andy Dalton came back, and then Justin Fields did get an opportunity, and he did improve, which, you know, to your point is you got to let these guys get out there and try and see what happens. But one interesting thing is it does, of course, elevate Darnell Mooney, who's somebody that is available in many, many leagues. If your waivers haven't run, I know probably 50% of waivers have run, but then another 50% haven't. So we'll talk a little bit about waivers quickly throughout the show. And Darnell Mooney is someone that you're going to want to put some fab on because he has actually seen more targets, more catches, more air yards, and he has out-snapped Allen Robinson. And I hate it because I love Allen Robinson. And I actually want Allen Robinson to be able to go somewhere. Maybe we can pair him up with Deshaun Watson somewhere and watch these two really help each other take off for fantasy teams. But it looks like it's Darnell Mooney, and he had 125 receiving yards with Justin Fields last Sunday. Fields seems to like him. So you got to make sure you get those claims in for Darnell Mooney. I'm not saying drop Allen Robinson, and you're probably playing him in most instances, but I think we have to take Darnell Mooney very, very seriously. Okay. More big news today. Oh, we can stick with Chicago. Actually, let's stick with Chicago. David Montgomery out 4 to 5 weeks at least with the knee. Good that he avoided a season-ending, surgery. But you're going to need to find a sub. And if you want to stay right there in the Chicago, the answer is Damian Williams. He was available in 91% of leagues 2 days ago. Now he's available in like 60% of leagues. It's going down quickly. But if you still have the chance, if people aren't paying attention, put your bids in for Damian Williams. Or you can go to Samaje Perine and Cincinnati because, surprise, surprise, Joe Mixon is week to week. What are the odds? And that week to week could turn into, I don't know, 3,047 weeks because it's Joe Mixon. And it's pretty much a bummer because Joe Mixon was actually being the true bell cow they promised he would be. He was second in the league in carries after Derrick Henry. So, as I have a bit of Joe Mixon, I took the gamble. I hope that he's healthy and he's back soon. But if not, you are going to want a 7 P run there, who we haven't seen much of, but he was pretty efficient last year in his opportunities. I believe it was 4.8 yards per carry on about 63 carries. And then finally, something's up with Chris Carson. He has not been practicing. It's a back or neck issue, I believe. And I wondered actually when I wrote the waiver wire article Monday night, I said, I suspect Carson's injured because we saw Alex Collins get more snaps each week, but it was a 50% increase from the week before. And he was the one with the productive fantasy day. He was the one that got the goal line carry, the touchdown, all that business. So I have a feeling Carson will not be playing on a short week. Versus a really tough Rams defense. I don't see any reason for them to do that if he is dealing with an injury. So think about rostering Alex Collins. Okay, more news. Stephon Gilmore to the Panthers. Couldn't come to a deal with Big Bill. Didn't happen. And now the Panthers defense gets, in another upgrade. Now he is still on the PUP list technically from his quad injury. So he probably won't start till week 7, but I mean, how do you feel about this Panthers defense?
That's an incredible addition by them. It's, it's got to really sting. It seems like this was like kind of in the works for a while. Like Gilmore was really not going to come back with the Patriots. But if you're the Pats, you got to be thinking like, man, we're clearly better than the Jets. We're clearly better than the Dolphins now, especially without Tua. The Bills, who knows, they could maybe steal a game from them. And it's not like they're going to win the division over them. But losing a piece like that has really got to sting. And reversely, him going to Carolina, which I know they've had some injuries offensively, obviously, with CMC, but they're a fun team. They've been a real fun team. They've kind of shocked everyone. Darnold's rushing, which we talked about before with Fabs, has been incredible. It seems like the Joe Brady offense, what Matt Rhule, now this is like the Matt Rhule to a T. He comes into a new place, whether it's, you know, a former college program or it's a NFL team. Give him a year or two, and that whole organization turns around. And now he's bringing in, you know, elite all-star players, and it's, you know, it's another great addition for them. And if they get the defense right with the way Darnold's been playing, sans Adam Gase, and when CMC's healthy, it's that's a really good team over there in Carolina.
Yeah, it is a pretty good team, though. I knew the Cowboys were going to win that game. Like, that was too easy. Too easy, all you people that took the Panthers. Cowboys, by the way, speaking of, did release veteran linebacker Jalen Smith. They are obviously happy with the young talent they got. And Jerry Jones apparently made a mistake with that big contract, is the word. And so Jalen Smith has been sent on his way. Christian McCaffrey showed up to practice today in full pads, and reports are he looked good. So there is a possibility, that we might get to see Christian McCaffrey this Sunday. If you have Christian McCaffrey and he's going, are you starting him?
That's such a I wanted to make a joke that I guess he's going to chip into the Sam Darnold rushing touchdowns if he does play. But if you drafted him, you drafted him probably number one or number two, or maybe he was your keeper. You got to play him, right? I mean, you'd be silly not to. It's just the chance that he does play a few snaps. He's probably in a limited snap count, but if he gets one score, you'll be kicking yourself.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, like, he is so efficient even on a limited snap count. Like, I would rather have a limited snap count of Christian McCaffrey than, say, like, Trey Sermon, probably. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Or Mike Davis or whoever else you might be running out as your RB2. Even if you think of CMC as your RB2, I think you have to start him. But it is game time decision is my guess, if at all. Of course, we're planning for him not to start, but we shall see. And finally, I just have to bring up, really, Urban Meyer, like, how much worse can this Jacksonville team get? I mean, they lost DJ Chark on top of this, and they were kind of looking like kind of decent on Thursday, which makes what Urban did almost more pathetic. Like, were y'all celebrating, dude?
Such a weird one, because I think this isolated, if it was an isolated incident, I could be like, you know, he's a guy, he just wants to, you know, I guess let loose after a game. It's probably not the best idea to not be on the team, play and travel with the team, but it's like, it stinks about being a famous person and having the camera always pointed at you no matter where you go. And obviously more videos have come out. It seems like he kind of was initiating it. And then you add that with all the laundry list of issues since he was hired. I mean, look at from the beginning, I could write off the list. I mean, yeah. The strength and conditioning coach where he was being awful to the students at Iowa, and he had to resign from the Jaguars. He randomly signs Tim Tebow. Why? Who knows? Like, goes and drafts Travis Etienne when they had James Robinson there. He says out loud that he wanted to draft Kadarius Toney, where they took Travis Etienne. Then obviously the whole COVID vaccine thing, where he's saying that, yeah, we're cutting players depending on their vaccination status. And then having an open competition between Trevor Lawrence and Gardner Minshew. It's like, you're taking away valuable snaps from Trevor Lawrence, who clearly was the future. And they go and trade Gardner Minshew away as it is. And then obviously trading away last year's number 9 overall pick. The team starts 0-4. So it's like all this stuff. It's like, well, Herb, you can absolutely cannot be doing anything in the public eye that could be taken in a negative way. So yeah, this is a bad job by Herb.
Yeah, but how does it make you feel about playing your fantasy players? Like, do you just extra want to stay away from Trevor Lawrence and Laviska Shenault and Marvin? Or do you think they're going to be like, screw this? Like, we're just like going to go on our own and we're going to win this game.
That's a really great question. I wonder, man, I mean, to be a fly in the wall in that locker room, mm-hmm. to see like, hey guys, we're going to rally around each other and just, right. you know, screw Urban Meyer, or is it going to be a thing where they're just like, yeah, we're not very good. And this is an awful year. And I'm going to just fake an injury. I'm going to miss some time. And it's like, right. and really what it comes down to is I feel miserably for Trevor Lawrence. I mean, being pick number 1 overall, obviously, like, it seemed like the Jets really want him. Maybe that seems like they kind of won out. Now getting Zach Wilson, who is making some unbelievable throws, but Trevor Lawrence down there, and you think it's going to be okay, or Meyer's taking over. They have an owner who really cares about the team, and then they draft his teammate, Travis Etienne, and, you know, they have an okay receiving core for the most part, and now it's just really crumbling, and he's just stuck there in North Florida with a coach who just wants to do what he wants to do whenever, and it's not pretty.
Yeah, it's not pretty at all. All right, just a couple more waiver names I'm going to drop out there for you guys if you're looking. We already talked about Dalton Schultz with Fabs earlier. Dawson Knox should not be left around. I like Zach Ertz as well. He's actually running a lot of routes. And you know what? That's good when you have a rookie quarterback. They often go to the tight end. So I think he and Dallas Goedert can be productive if you're really digging around. Darnell Mooney, Jamison Crowder, Van Jefferson, Khalif Raymond actually is someone that's playing a lot of snaps, and they're going to be playing from behind a lot. So there are definitely names out there. I've got a full list over at si.com/fantasy if you want to check that out. Okay. Looking ahead, some good starts that I'm going to add in to what Fab said at quarterback. Of course, you're starting Josh Allen. I think that Mac Jones could have a good start this week. I'm also thinking of DFS. Sometimes these are values that you can put into stacks. Matt Stafford is a must start. And of course, Dak. And you know what? If you did want to start Trevor Lawrence and you're operating on our idea that they're all going to rally around this together, they got a really nice matchup versus Tennessee. Tennessee has surrendered the 11th most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. So definitely a chance that you could ride that if you wanted to. I'm thinking more DFS in that case. Running backs. Best matchup of the week, of course, is for the Vikings, but we're keeping an eye on Dalvin Cook. Madison could be in a smash spot here. Cordell Patterson, as we mentioned, someone you want to play versus the Jets. The matchup with Seattle is really nice for the Rams. I'm pretty sure Henderson's going to go, and I would play him. I might even flex Sony Michel just in case. Think he could get some goal line carries as well. Leonard Fournette is someone you might like this week. And of course, Damian Harris. That Houston run defense is pathetic. So Damian Harris is someone you might look at. And if you're really, really in a bind, maybe even Brandon Bolden. Wide receivers, the Jacksonville receivers I'm interested in. Marvin Jones and Laviska Shenault, because the Tennessee secondary is absolutely trash. They're trash. I like Hollywood Brown. He continues, even though he had that one bad week, redeemed himself completely this week. And I do also like those Detroit receivers, Khalif Raymond, Quintus Cephas versus Minnesota. And we already talked about tight ends, but yeah, Dalton Schultz, Mike Gesicki, Dawson Knox, all in really good spots this week. So those are basic starts for the week. Let's get to some questions. I wrote some questions down that you guys sent in, and any live questions, we'll take those too. And we'll just get to five or six and see what we can get through.
Awesome. Let's go through questions. And again, thanks to all those listeners who tweeted at Jen, at me, at the Extra Points handle. Thank you for that. We'll read all your questions, obviously, week in, week out here. And I'm going to cut the line, Jen. I had a couple questions, but I'm going to cut all mine.
No, cut the line, please.
But I want to ask one, only because Fabs brought it up. And I think not only is this an important fantasy question, but it actually deals with the playoffs and going forward with the Cleveland Browns, Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham Jr. Last week, everyone was like, you know, rah-rah, Odell is going to be great. Like, him and Bake together is going to be awesome. He's a dynamic receiver. He's going to go back to being number one wide receiver status here. And then we've seen some reports today on Twitter that Baker may have been in a shoulder brace. That could be part of the reason why he wasn't hitting a wide open Odell Beckham. Who knows? But it's, to me, it was shocking to hear what Fab said about how he just has no faith in the Browns and the Stefanski offense. So I just want to see where you stand. Are you maybe thinking it could be a Baker shoulder thing? Do you think Odell is just so dang talented that if he gets a couple targets his way, he could turn them into some points? Or do you really just say this is going to be a Chubb, this is going to be a Hunt offense, and Baker is just kind of a passenger in what Stefanski really wants to do?
I think that Baker Mayfield is going to end up being a game manager, more of a Jimmy Garoppolo type thing. I've just always felt that. I don't think Baker Mayfield is a stud the way other people do. And I've kind of long maintained that. Though last year he started to kind of look like he was going to prove me wrong. But here we go. Now it's been 1 week again. We don't know. But yeah, it is true. There is not great chemistry between he and OBJ, which stinks. Because OBJ deserves better. But it is what it is. I do not like him as a fantasy quarterback, except for in a super flex league. And but I still believe in the Browns. I still believe they're going to find a way to get it done, because Nick Chubb Hunt, Kareem Chubb, whatever you want to call them, they are incredible. And if he can just be efficient enough to hit, I don't know, Rashad Higgins or Donovan Peoples-Jones or whoever, Austin Hooper, whatever, they can still win games, because their defense can also be very, very good. So not out on the Browns, but yeah, I'm definitely not high on Baker Mayfield. And unfortunately, you know, I wasn't in on OBJ last year, and then I thought this year would be different, and I got him in the league, and I started him last week, and I lost because I started him over Devonta Smith and Darnell Mooney, both of whom I left on the bench in favor of OBJ. So that stung.
Well, no, that's why I had to ask, because not only, like you just said, not only does it matter in fantasy terms, because so many fantasy players have shares of Hunt and Chubb and Odell, and maybe some people took chances on Bake, and then obviously looking at the AFC North with the Ravens and the Bengals are surprisingly okay. It's like, how is a team with all these players, none of them really great at fantasy besides the running backs, but they somehow can win the AFC North and make some noise in the play. It's just a bizarre offense, but Stefanski knows what he's doing. So that's why I had to bring that up. But let's go with our listener questions here, and we'll start off with a tight end question. So someone asking, hi, Jen, I dropped Robert Tonyan and added Mike Gesicki, full point PPR. What do you think here? Tonyan has been killing me.
I like it. You know, the thing with Robert Tonyan is he was really incredibly touchdown dependent. And as long as he was Aaron Rodgers' favorite target, he was gold for fantasy, but it really was just touchdowns. It wasn't targets. Gesicki is seeing more of that. And he's also with kind of an inexperienced quarterback in Brissett. So I think we're going to see good production from Gesicki, probably not great this week specifically. Tampa Bay has actually been not very good versus the tight end. So this week, especially, I like him. He can probably get Tonyan back if course reverses.
All right, we're going to stick with the tight end theme here. I just picked up Dawson Knox from my crappy 1-3 team. Sorry to hear that. I still have Pitts. Can I start Knox ahead of Pitts? Or at least Knox does something and maybe scores. Pitts has been such a disappointment.
Sure, you absolutely can. So Knox is getting the targets. He's getting the red zone targets. And Josh Allen is going to him. It's incredible, but it's true. I believe it's now been 3 games in a row with the touchdown. And he does have another really juicy matchup this week versus Kansas City, who hasn't been very good versus the tight end. So absolutely you can. There is going to be a day when Pitts goes off and you're going to be like, ouch. So you're going to want to make this a week-to-week decision. But you know what? You need 2 tight ends anyway because bye weeks are approaching. So just hang with them both for a few weeks and start Knox this weekend.
All right. We'll shift over to here to receivers and bring up a name we've been talking about a lot in this pod. PPR, Antonio Brown or Darnell Mooney?
Darnell Mooney. Simply because we now know Justin Fields is locked in as the starter. And we now know by looking at SnapShare data and all the data from the first 4 weeks, he is the number one guy. He's getting the most opportunity. Whereas Antonio Brown is always going to be sharing Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Robert Gronkowski.
All right, sticking with the receivers here. Who should I start between Bobby Trees or Corey Davis?
It's a really tough one because I know Bobby Trees has been really disappointing for a lot of people, but the matchup is so good this week versus Seattle. Seattle's actually surrendered 6 touchdowns to opposing wide receivers already, and I believe the 4th most receiving yards, something like that. It's a lot. They're not good. Secondary is not good. So I think Robert Woods has a good shot for a good game. They also came out, Sean McVay came out and said, you know, he wants to find more ways to get Robert Woods involved. He is playing, by the way, the same amount of snaps as Cooper Kupp. They're both playing around 90%. Van Jefferson's actually playing 72%. So there's a real role there for Van Jefferson. So you do want to consider Van Jefferson in deeper leagues. But I go Bobby Trees here also because Corey Davis, now that Jamison Crowder is back, there's going to be a little bit more competition for targets. I think last week was a good week, and I like Corey Davis, but it was also a revenge game narrative that just played out perfectly. This week they're in London. I don't think it's going to be a great game for Zach Wilson. And so this week I got to go Robert Woods.
Well, we were just talking about the sad Jacksonville Jaguars. So a listener wants to know, should they start Laviska Shenault or Deontay Johnson?
I think you're going to start Deontay Johnson because he's the number one guy. And I understand the hesitation because Big Ben has just been horrible. But Deontay Johnson's still been good. If you didn't like that in your gut, I can't blame you for starting Laviska Shenault because, again, the matchup is so, so good. Just still a lot of question marks around this Jacksonville team, like from what's going on in the locker room to what's going on in the field to goodness knows what. But there is no DJ Shark, and we did see Shenault step up, and he can do a lot of things. He can be a very gadgety guy as well. So I do love Shenault, but I would still start Deontay Johnson over him.
Here's an interesting one. Is Josh Gordon worth a waiver wire pickup to stash for later weeks?
I mean, Sure. The problem is going to be, though, how do we ever pick which receiver it's going to be for Kansas City, right? I mean, we're always starting Kelce and we're always starting Hill. And then after that, who is it? Byron Pringle? You know, I mean, I don't know. Who is it? It could be anybody. So could it be Josh Gordon? Sure, but we've also fallen for this Josh Gordon trap before. So don't spend a lot of money. Don't drop, you know, I don't know, Miles Gaskin for him even, I don't think. I mean, maybe. It just depends on what you have. If you can move someone into IR and make it work, sure, why not?
So as a trade scenario, someone seems to want to trade DeAndre Hopkins and they want to know what should be their return.
A lot. Like probably an RB1, like Najee Harris even, maybe somebody like that. I don't know why you would trade Hopkins unless you were getting an upgrade at another position that you're really needy in.
Darnell Mooney is hot in the streets here. Would you start Darnell Mooney instead of Robert Woods?
No, not yet. But that is a really, really tough one. I love Robert. I love Robert Woods. So I probably would not. I would lean on the experienced receiver and give him one more week. But you absolutely could. So you got to go with your gut there. Me personally, I'm going Woods.
We have a Twitter one from the Drew Harris running back question asking Damian Harris or Alex Collins / Samaje Perine if they get the start.
Damian Harris, without question. The Houston run defense, total trash. They should be able to run all over them. And the other guys, we like them, but Collins' matchup is not good. And the P runs is not particularly impressive either. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to go Harris here.
We have a quarterback question to start. Russell Wilson or Sam Darnold?
Ooh, gosh, that's really hard. I think I'm actually going to go Sam Darnold here. I hate to start anyone over Russ, and it's certainly going to be a high scoring game. Okay. So like sports books have this game of 54.5. They think there's going to be a lot of points, but when I broke this game down and started looking at it, I don't think so. I know that Los Angeles Rams defense hasn't been that good this year, but look, Aaron Donald's going to sack Russ at least twice. Russ has been sacked two or more times in every game this season. I think they'll Jalen Ramsey will be able to limit the receivers a little bit. I think he'll be on DK Metcalf. I think they'll hold Seattle to less points. And I think this game's going to hit the under as well. These could be famous last words. So I'm kind of leaning Darnold, especially if no Christian McCaffrey.
Mm-hmm. All right, wrapping up. We got three left here. Would you play any of the top wide receivers from waivers over CeeDee Lamb?
No, not a single one.
Simple enough. We're going to tight ends here. Which tight end to start this week? Higbee, Gesicki, Schultz, or Knox? Wow, that's a lot of tight ends.
I like them all. That's the first time I've liked all the tight ends. I think I'm going to go Gesicki.
All right, and to round it out with the two-parter here, Knox or Schultz at tight end, or should I play them both and bench Brandon Cooks?
I cannot ever bench a receiver like Brandon Cooks for two tight ends. It's just too much risk. I know it's risky to play Brandon Cooks with Davis Mills, but believe it or not, even though there were no points scored last week, he had like 70% of everything, of what points were scored. So you're still going to start Cooks. It won't always be that bad. You know, New England has been beatable, and not that they're going to beat them, but I'm just saying I'm still going Cooks. And then tricky call between Knox and Schultz. I'm going to go Schultz.
All right, that's it for our questions. And again, thanks everyone for tweeting at Jenna P and Chandy, at Edward L. Murphy and Extra Points Pod for all those questions. It's great stuff.
Yes, everybody, thank you so much for always coming in with your questions. You can also tune in live on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter and ask us your questions live at any time, Wednesdays, 5 p.m. Eastern time. Before we close the pod, I have to remind everybody to go over to extrapoints.com/arcade and play games with us. I stunk last week. I just did not do well. You know, it's interesting. I had my best bets article over at Sports Illustrated. I got 4 out of 5 right. I've been getting 4 out of 5 right, but for whatever reason, when I do our extra points one, the last 2 weeks, I have not gotten it right. You know, the Raiders let me down, the Bucks let me down, the Giants let me down by winning. What happened there? So, but you guys are probably much better at picking the games than me. So head over to extrapoints.com/arcade and prove it. Put your money where your mouth is and play with us, because it sounds like so far out in front, it's redonkulous.
And he won the week four college one too, I think. He had 13 out of 19. Yeah, he's on fire, Sal.
I guess that's why he's
the best. I think that's why he started this. And he,
I think that might be why. You think we're all going to keep our jobs after this?
Yeah, we should probably listen to Sal. Just follow what he does. Copy his picture.
Just do what Sal says. Don't listen to us. Unless it's for fantasy football, then you should definitely listen to us. Every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Okay, guys, have a great week. If you have any more questions, be sure to shoot them over at Jen Piacenti, J-E-N-P-I-A-C-E-N-T-I. And I will get back to you. In the meantime, enjoy the football. Thank you.